Get your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians 2. And we'll start reading with verse number 1. Now, Father, I need the gift of teaching now, Lord. I need wisdom in the Scripture. Our Father, I pray that You'd open the hearts of the people to receive Your Word. Give them hearts to hear, ears to hear, and a heart that's receptive to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 1. The Scripture says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into Him." That's a direct reference to the catching away of the saints. A direct reference to the rapture of the church of God. Verse 2. "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, if you have any other Bible apart from the King James, you'll have "day of the Lord" there. And that completely changes the meaning of it. Completely changes it and relocates it into the tribulation period. What that means is that if you have "day of the Lord" here in 2 Thessalonians 2, then you can use that text to teach people that the church is going to go through the tribulation. See what I mean? If you've got "day of the Lord" here. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord are two entirely different things. Entirely different. They're not the same. So in verse number 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first," as that happened. That's an apostasy. A falling away. And then note carefully, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." This is the Antichrist. This is the false Christ. All right? The world's ready for the false Christ. Getting ready for it. And I want to talk to you this morning about some things to kind of give you an idea of where we are. But we are definitely at that point to where the false Christ, and I believe that the false Christ has already made himself known. He has not identified himself as the false Christ to you, but you've seen him. And in every generation, if you live in a generation that believes the Lord could come back in that generation, then you obviously believe that there can be an Antichrist in that generation that will qualify as the man of sin, son of perdition. The man of sin, first 3.5 years, you know, just like any other man, he has a deadly wound in the middle of the tribulation period. And then the last 3.5 years, he is the son of perdition. He's literally Satan incarnate in flesh. That's what we've got to deal with here now this morning. We have to deal with this incarnation in flesh of the devil. Now, just a few days ago over in Roanoke, Virginia, a man took a 9mm Glock and he murdered 2 people. Cold-blooded, cowardly murder. And then at 1:30 that afternoon, he went to hell. Because that's when he committed suicide. And right now, he is in hell screaming for mercy and burning like a piece of sausage. Now that's shocking, isn't it? You know why it's shocking? Because nobody ever hears anything like that anymore. Everything is all gray area today. You know, and well, that's his thing. This is my thing. Everything is relativism. It's all relative. There's no absolutes anymore. This is why the church is so apostate. But just a couple of days ago in Texas, a police officer was filling his vehicle up with gasoline, and a murderer walked up behind him and shot him in the back and murdered him right there on the spot. That murderer murdered that police officer. He probably didn't know him from Adam. But he murdered him. Now, what's my point? My point is this, folks. The country has reached the point to where morality is relative. It's relativism. There is no absolute in this nation. The church is absolutely irrelevant. And people don't look to the church for any leadership or for any understanding, no basis for truth or identity. The church is just a religious place that people go to once or twice a week. And when they go there, they don't come out of there having any bearing on their culture or their society. They go in there and they smile with their plastic smiles and go through their rituals. But when they come back out into the culture, they have no effect whatsoever on the culture. When it comes voting day, they go to the booths and they vote exactly like the unsaved world votes. They vote their belly. And so their God is their belly. Now, with a church like that, you can't expect them to have any kind of power. And they're not. They don't have any. And this is why you take a businessman in New York, Donald Trump, who has a lot of warts, believe me. He's got a lot of problems. All it takes is a cursory understanding of this man to understand that. But this man speaks in a language that no other politician speaks in. He has stirred up the emotions of a lot of people in this country because he's speaking to issues that the politicians won't speak to, and he's telling the truth. He speaks off the cuff. And he speaks extemporaneously. He doesn't have to have prepared notes. He doesn't have a teleprompter. He doesn't have that. Doesn't have any of that stuff. He just speaks off the top of his head, and they know it. And so what you hear is what you get, and what you see is what you get. And he has really stirred up the political pundits in Washington, D.C. and around the country. And the reason he has is because they are completely ignorant of the underlying current in this nation, that there are millions of people in America that are not stupid. They're fed up and they're looking for a voice that will speak for them. And they don't expect Donald Trump to be everything they want them to be, and I certainly don't. But the thing is, I've heard him say things that you will not hear another politician say. The greater point in this is that the world, the one worlders, the elite one worlders, the one who are the movers and the shakers, the social reformers, the ones who craft the social identity of this nation through the public school system and on up from the time that they're old enough to be weaned off of a bottle, they take them and they begin to brainwash these kids, and they think that apparently Donald Trump is a canary in the cave, because he is the one who apparently is the one that they're using, or they're watching, or they're observing to see how far they've gone, how much they've accomplished in the nation so far. And the truth of the matter is, they've accomplished a lot in this nation, the elite, the movers and the shakers, the ones at the top of the pyramid, the great white brotherhood I was talking about him a couple of weeks ago. He's got three huge layers of the brotherhood, and he's got about six or seven layers to reach to the top of the pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid are the ones who are literally calling the shots. They are the elite of the elite. And I'm going to talk about them this morning. I'm going to talk about World War II, some things that you just don't hear a whole lot about, and to show you where we are today, folks. We are further down the road than you could ever imagine. But what they're doing is they're trying to find out how far we are down the road. And Donald Trump is letting them know that there are millions of people in this country that are not brainwashed and haven't bought the party line. And let me say something to you this morning. I have no more use for a Democrat or a Republican than I do a dead dog. I've been a registered Republican for 50 years. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Republican Party has sunk into a sorry state. It's as sorry as it can be. The Republican leadership, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Speaker of the House, the leader of the Senate, look at them. 2 years ago, they voted all these Republicans in for change, to do something to stop Obama. What have they done? They've done nothing. They've done absolutely nothing. Zilch. Zero. This is why Donald Trump is rising in the polls. And this is why he has the attention of people. Now, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to show you this morning some things that I think will help you understand how far along we've come. I'm looking for the Lord to come back. Amen. I firmly believe He's coming back. Amen. I'm a Bible believer. I believe in the rapture of the church of God. I believe at any moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I heard a shout about midway through a sentence this morning, and we're gone? I'll leave the keys to the building for the Antichrist. There they are. Do whatever you want to with it. We're leaving out of here. We're not building monuments on this earth. We're not building great ministries on this earth. We're leaving this earth. We're occupying till He comes. But in any event, I've always wondered about World War II. For example, do you realize that when Adolf Hitler moved across Europe and invaded France, France had built from World War I what's called the Maginot Line. The Maginot Line was a huge fortification stretching for hundreds of miles to protect France from the German invasion from the east, like had happened in World War I. And so they thought they felt pretty safe with the Maginot Line to stop Hitler. And so, but it didn't stop him. The fact of the matter is, he just went right around it. And he came into France, and in six weeks, he marched all the way to Paris, France. And one of the famous photographs you've ever seen, you'll see Hitler for the only time that he went into France. He went in one time into Paris. For the one time he went into France, you can see a picture of Hitler and the Eiffel Tower behind him. And he's surveying his victory. Well, it wasn't long after that until 330-something thousand troops had gathered on the beaches of Dunkirk. And the reason they were there is because that the Germans had overrun Western Europe, and they were pulling their armies out because they were disorganized. They couldn't put up a unified effort against them. They couldn't stop them. And so 330-something thousand. Folks, that's three armies. An army is about 100,000 men. A division will run 10,000 plus or minus, maybe a little more depending on who you are, 15,000. You're looking at a huge group of men. And do you know what he did? For 3 days, he let those men sit there on the beaches of Dunkirk and allowed the Allies to come across the English Channel and carry all those troops out of there and get them up into Europe. And his general staff, Hitler's general staff, the commanding generals, were incensed because they could have destroyed those armies right there on the beaches. And that would have struck a major blow to the force that had gathered in England and to the Allied effort at the beginning. It would have struck a major blow, but they didn't do it. Why? And so we're going to talk about that this morning. We'll talk about how that the elite, the movers and the shakers at the top, pull the strings on both sides of the border. They pull the strings. They fund the warring parties. They fund this side and they fund that side. The elite M.O. is to go in and literally tear down and destroy as much as they possibly can, create all the chaos that they can possibly create, and then rebuild it into this one world utopian government. Right now in the United States of America, they are attacking the home. They're attacking your faith. If you believe that the government of the United States is pro-Christian, you live in a cave. Already they're trying to get the IRS to answer to the fact that they have scrutinized so many conservative organizations that wanted a tax-exempt status. And they can't seem to be able to get anywhere with it. The government of the United States of America has, through Barack Obama, has gutted the military in this country. The general staff leadership, anybody that doesn't march to his tune and agree with him, they're gone. They've reduced the Navy. They've reduced the standing army. They've reduced all of our forces to a point that some say, and all I can do is listen to what they say, to the analysts that say we're in worse shape than we've ever been in this nation. They go all the way back to maybe 1910, 20, somewhere in there. And the United States is not ready for a major war. And of course, there is one nation on this earth that could give the United States all it ever wanted, and that's Russia. Believe me, they could give the U.S. all they could handle. Probably for, I don't know how long, but for a while. All right? So what does that mean? That means that you need an army. That means you need a standing army. That means that there's a lot of Christians in that army. There's a lot of born-again believers in the military in the United States that don't like what's happening. I get emails from these men all the time talking about what's going on in the military. So why? Here's why. The last jewel to pluck for the New World Order, and once it plucks it and brings the United States to heel, is the United States. It's that jewel, the United States. That's the last one. All the rest of them pretty well have been brought down. Look at Western Europe right now. The churches in Western Europe have been closed, most of them closed, turned into bingo parlors, turned into everything under the sun, because Christianity has died in Western Europe. It's dying all over the world. Only in certain places do you see, in Africa, for example, there's a real move of God. And in China, the underground church is still growing. And certain areas in the country, in the world, the Christian church is still strong. But look what's happened in Syria and the Middle East. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have been driven from their homes. Their churches have been burned. They have been slaughtered. Their heads have been cut off. They've been crucified, burned, beyond belief at what's happened to our brothers and our sisters over there in the eastern part. And this, the area I'm talking about, like Syria, for example, or Iraq, some of these places have been there for 2,000 years. Ancient Christian sites. And a lot of these people are fleeing into Hungary, for example. If you watch the BBC, you'll see that thousands of people are fleeing from Syria and the Middle East into Hungary so that they can go from Hungary into Spain, to Portugal, to France, to England, anywhere to get out of Syria where they're putting them to death. What's happening? They're destroying civilizations. They're destroying the church. They're destroying the Christians. And it's all according to a plan. ISIS is like, if you've got a mad dog and you want to take care of a certain area, you turn that mad dog loose. When you get done with that mad dog, you'll just kill him and get rid of him. No big deal. But if that mad dog is useful to you, you'll just turn that mad dog loose and let it do it. That's what ISIS is. It's a mad dog. It's a mad dog. And let me tell you something else about ISIS. It's making a difference. What you hear out of Washington, D.C., ISIS is Islam reading the Quran literally. That's what it is. And anybody that tries to spin it any other way is either ignorant or they have a political agenda. ISIS is reading the Quran the way the Quran is written, and they're applying it literally, and that's what you get. That's what it produces. So, here's some questions for you. I'll just ask a few of them because I want to come down to there's only so much time. And here's a few questions about World War II. Why didn't Hitler commandeer the French fleet? How many's ever heard of a Vichy French? Vichy French are the French who essentially were agreed with the Nazis when they came into France. And take, for example, what was that premier, the president of France, the big tall guy? De Gaulle was the one who led the forces against Nazi Germany. Why didn't they commandeer that fleet? They didn't. Why didn't Hitler close the Straits of Gibraltar? I've been through the Straits of Gibraltar. Did you know if he'd shut the Straits of Gibraltar down, he would control the whole Mediterranean? And it wouldn't have been that hard to close the Straits of Gibraltar, folks, because it's right in here. I mean, what would it take to shut that down? Didn't do it. Where did the Nazis get all of their oil and fuel? Where did it come from? Some said, well, they came from coal and all this and that. No, they needed far more than what they could have ever produced. Where did all that come from? The global elite ensured Germany received a steady supply of oil for the duration of the war. Why did Hitler order a pause at Dunkirk, letting the British escape? Why did he do that? He did that because it was in the plan of the elite to allow... He didn't want to destroy Great Britain. He wanted to destroy Western Europe. The elite did. And rebuild it. And so they allowed those troops to get out of there. Where did the Nazis, and I've always asked this question, where did they get their money to finance this massive rearmament program, the war effort? Where did they get their money? Bankers, right? Bankers. If people knew what a bunch of crooks these bankers are up there that create fiat money. Fiat money, folks, is money that comes off of a printing press that is not worth any more than the paper it's printed on. When they stop the silver certificate and the gold certificates, you can no longer go to a bank and demand gold or silver. All you've got is a Federal Reserve note. And the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation for profit, is controlling the money supply in this country, which controls the money supply in the rest of the world. Because America's money is the reserve currency of the whole world. As long as it remains the reserve currency of the world, your interest rates will stay low. But if the day ever comes that they decide to take America's dollar bill and it no longer is the reserve currency, watch your interest rates skyrocket overnight. The British pound sterling was the reserve currency of the world back in the early 1900s. I know a lot of you, this is new stuff, but these are facts that I'm giving you. The reserve currency means that the dollar bill, every currency in the world is judged on its value as it relates to the dollar bill. That's what that means. The dollar bill is the standard of value. It's the reserve currency of the world. Everything else is measured according to it. Would you want a Greek drachma right now? I mean, think about it. Somebody is controlling the money supply of the world, and it is not your elected representatives in the Senate and in the House. And they financed Hitler in World War II. No doubt about that. I may not agree with everything that this man says, but he did his homework. Why were so many Japanese cities savagely firebombed, around 67 of them, in World War II? Cities were firebombed and not the means of military production. Why? Think about this for a minute. If you're fighting a war, which would be a better target? A bunch of civilians or a munitions factory? A bunch of civilians or a railroad? If you're fighting a war, you want to go to the means of production of weapons. That's where you go. And if you find where they're housing troops, you want to go after the troops. But to blow up a bunch of civilians is a different thing entirely. Why'd they do that? Because they wanted to produce complete chaos. Why did Roosevelt impose an oil embargo on Japan in July of 1941? How many of you know that when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941, that when they did this, that their oil had been cut off, that there was an oil embargo against Japan? Now, there's some things that led up to all of that. I understand that. You can't simplify everything. But they were reacting to a situation that was strangling the very lifeblood out of their country. Why? Because they forced a war in World War II upon countries. Now, listen to this one. Why did Churchill and Truman agree to the enslavement of Eastern Europe by the Soviet Union? It's an amazing thing when you think about the fact that they handed all of those Eastern European countries, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, and all of them, they handed them over to Joseph Stalin. And Stalin created what's called the Iron Curtain. That was a buffer between Russia and Western Europe. Why did they allow that to happen? Because it was the Vatican, which is the head of the religious system in this world, the seat of the religious part of the Illuminati, was complicit in it and had a great part in what went on there. And on we go. I'm not going to read all of this because I don't have enough time. Here's a good one, though. Why did Stalin take no steps whatever to repel the planned German invasion of June the 22nd, 1941, when he was warned over and over and over again by the observers that Hitler was amassing a huge army, 3 million troops, Operation Barbarossa, Hitler sent into Russia? Why didn't Stalin do anything about that? They say that because the Illuminati, the global elite, wanted to create the largest carnage and chaos that they possibly could. And here's an observation that I think is very good this morning. The only remaining group of Christians anywhere in the world are the fundamentalist Bible-believing Christians, mostly Baptist, in the United States. They are the next target, along with the Jews of Israel and the U.S., before the Illuminati establish their long-planned New World Order. I wonder if that's so. Let me give you some of the goals of this New World Order and the elite. Number one, eliminate the Jewish race. They want to get rid of them. Do you know why? Because the Bible prophecy is connected directly with the Jews, and the Jews will become the head of all the nations, and the Jews gave you your Bible and your Savior. And I have never seen anti-Semitism as it is today. Number two, eliminate all born-again Christians. They want to get rid of you, and they will. They're going to come after you. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come and get us soon, you can expect organized resistance. I'm not talking about just people here now. I'm talking about organized resistance against the church of the living God. That's coming. Number three, they want to eliminate the King James Bible. You know why? People who believe the King James Bible fit into a different category. And I'm not saying that these other people aren't Christians. There's a lot of Christians today that don't have a King James Bible. But I'm going to say something to you, and I've said it before, and I want you to think about it. Find me one Christian anywhere in this world that has something other than a King James Bible. Ask them if they believe that Bible they've got in their hand is without error. NIV, New American Standard Version, all the rest of them. Ask them. If you have family members, friends, whatever, that have other Bibles, ask them if they believe that Bible is without error. 99% will say, no, it's got errors in it. They have to, because that's the position they take. There may be one or two here or there that say, oh yes, my Bible is without error. Then look back at them and say, then you will be persecuted by the very crowd that you go to church with Sunday after Sunday if you believe your Bible is without error. This is why we believe the King James Bible is without error, is because the King James Bible gives you an identity that absolutely goes against the spirit of this world. And when you pray, you've got a book in your hands that you believe is God's infallible word. And you don't question the Bible questions you. You don't critique the Bible critiques you. You have a book that is completely true from Genesis through the book of Revelation without proven error. And I'll stand by that as long as I'm in this world, that the Bible you've got in your hand is without proven error. Eliminate the King James. Eliminate the independence of sovereign states. They don't like sovereign states. This is why all the kids today in America are being raised as global citizens. This is why that Agenda 2030 that the Pope is going to promote when he comes up in next month in front of the UN, he's going to promote Agenda 2030, which is Agenda 21 on steroids. What does that mean? It means that it's going to take the sovereign control of a nation over its property, its land, and many other things away from it and hand it to the United Nations, all under so-called green agenda. This idea about global warming, all of this stuff about carbon emissions, have you read what's happened to the coal miners in West Virginia? Have you have any idea what's going on in West Virginia right now? These people up there in West Virginia are losing their homes. They're losing their cars. They're losing everything they've got because of the regulations that Obama has put on the coal industry. The coal industry in West Virginia is shutting down. And when they shut down, the miners, of course, have lost their job. What's this for? This is because of the carbon emissions of the burning of coal. Never mind that China pumps into the atmosphere probably 100 times more carbon emissions than America will ever pump. Never mind that they don't allow enough time to transition from coal or find a new usage of coal to starve these people to death. Never mind that this is not something that the American people have ever voted on, that the Congress has never voted on it. This is the fiat of one man who said himself when he was running for president that I will destroy the coal industry in America. Nobody listened to him. That's what he said. He said it with his own words. He said, I'll destroy it. He has. He has. Who does he think he is? Won't you be glad when you're shed of him in 16 months? If America can survive for the next 16 months and get rid of him, and find somebody to come in here that loves this country and wants to do something for the betterment of America. But in any event, you ought to do a little reading about the people in West Virginia and the hardships that have been brought on them. West Virginia, not only West Virginia, but Kentucky and parts of East Tennessee, anywhere there's coal mining, they're paying a dear price for Mr. Obama's policies. Of course, it doesn't stop his vacations. He takes them, every 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks. It doesn't get him off the golf course. He enjoys a lavish lifestyle while he starves those people to death. They want to promote the Luciferian religion in every way possible. That's the New Age movement. That's the kind of stuff you're hearing preached today. Most of the preachers in America are giving you a bunch of warmed-over psychobabble, feel-good stuff that you get week in and week out, and they never say a thing about what the Bible really says about you being an unsaved, lost sinner that needs to be born again, and that Christ is the only way that you can be saved. And if you die lost without God, you're going to go to hell. And many of you never hear them say anything about hell. They're not going to, because it doesn't fit into this. Now, if they will embrace sodomy, they will embrace the mark of the beast. And my personal assessment, and I just want to be honest with you this morning. My personal assessment is that the vast majority of the so-called church in America will accept the mark of the beast, because they'll miss the rapture. And the reason they'll miss it is because they have rejected the word of the living God, and they're no longer preaching it. That's sad. That's not to say that there aren't thousands, tens of thousands of churches out here with faithful men of God that are preaching His Word week in and week out. Faithful Christians that love the Lord. Yes, they're out there. Don't ever get the Elijah syndrome like we're the only ones. No, they're out there. But we are in the minority. The vast majority of the church is in terrible condition. And mark it down. This coming election cycle, they will run to the polls and they will run in there and they will vote for a baby-killing, psychopath, sociopath, atheist, agnostic. They'll vote for him against a Christian. And then come out and have their little revival meetings. Amen. I hate to be mad, be bad, be some... be so mad about it, but I have nothing but contempt for most religion in America. Nothing but contempt. I've arrived at that point. I didn't get there overnight. They're going to promote the arrival of the New Age Christ. So all I can say to you this morning is separate yourself. Separate yourself. Make sure of whose side you're on and where you stand in this struggle that we're in. Sometimes I think that the church in America is like it was in Nazi Germany, World War II. I read a little short story one time about a church that was next to the railroad tracks. And that church next to the railroad tracks, the trains would come by and it was loaded with Jews and other people, and they were taking them to the concentration camps to be gassed and burned. They were taking them to be slaughtered. Well, the people knew what was happening. And the point of the little track that I read was to sing a little louder. When the train comes by, sing a little louder so you don't have to hear it. I think the church is doing that now. They're singing a little louder. They're coming in here and they're acting like everything's okay and hunky-dory. And the country's going down the tubes to hell. And it's accelerating in its fall. It really is. It really is. That's where we are, folks. God will hold us accountable. He'll hold us accountable. Me especially as a pastor, as a preacher. He'll hold me accountable if I refuse to warn you about what kind of shape we're in this country. He'll warn you. If I don't warn you, He'll hold me accountable. He'll hold you accountable for what you do about what you know. And here's the way it works. If you know that a church is preaching the truth and you can't take it, you just get uncomfortable with it, you want to go somewhere where you want to find you a feel-good church. We've got feel-good churches all over town. They'll make you feel good about yourself. They'll make you love yourself. All right? You'll go find you a feel-good church. God will judge you for the fact that you turned away from the truth and was turned to an error. Absolutely. He'll judge you. And that's where He is right now. He's judging America. The country is being judged. So we better take our stand, and our position should be clear. If the Lord Jesus comes back tomorrow, will we be ashamed at His appearing? Or will we give out the truth of the Word of God? I have to make a decision. My time's about up. Fact is, sometimes I don't think I'll live very long. And I'll tell you why. If I get up here and I start getting into some of this stuff and start really opening up some stuff that they don't want it, that they don't want you to hear, they'll come and get me. And they'll make it look like a car wreck, or they'll make it look like I committed suicide or something like that. And they'll just do away with me. You don't believe that? You don't believe that there are assassins out there right now that will do away with you? I hope you've got enough sense to understand that. They'll do away with you. I hope you don't believe that shot Martin Luther King to death. What was his name? What? James Earl Ray. He spent time down here at Brushy Mountain. I hope you don't believe that. I hope you're not that gullible. I hope you understand that Martin Luther King was removed by a very high echelon. I hope you don't believe that. I don't know why my mind's going so blank this morning. Who was it shot Kennedy? Harvey. I hope you don't believe that Lee Harvey Oswald eliminated the President of the United States there at Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. I hope you don't believe that. All you got to do is look into Oswald's record a little bit, find out he was never an expert with a rifle. And he had a bolt action, folks. Bolt action. And here he is. How far was he? 200 yards away? If you know anything about a weapon, folks, and know what it takes to shoot a weapon, the bolt action is rough, because you got to bring it back, get back on site. Then you shoot it, you got to bring it back, get back on site. And then how many shots did he fire? And one shot that he fired, one shot that he fired went through Kennedy, took a right angle, and shot Connolly down there in front. That's good shooting. They call that the magic bullet. And then how many people down there at Dealey Plaza said, "We saw a man standing on a knoll over there. We saw a man standing on that knoll." And I think some of them said we heard a gunshot. And then they had some film that was taken, some testimony given, and it never showed up again. And the Warren Commission did a survey of it and said that, it was according to the parliament. I don't believe it. I believe that President Kennedy was eliminated. I believe that Martin Luther King was eliminated. I believe they were assassinated. And I believe most Americans believe that. If you believe that, you don't trust this government. That's the bottom line. If you believe that, and I believe it. How many of you believe that? Well, the vast majority of you do. The vast majority of you do. So what's the point? The point is that they have an agenda. You cross them, you're not part of their agenda, they'll eliminate you until they bring into fruition this one world government. So here we are. What are we going to do? Well, I know I'm saved. That's what I'm going to do. I know I'm born again. Hallelujah to God. I lay my head on a bed at night. If I don't wake up in this world, I know where I'm going. That's what matters to me. It really does. That's the only thing that really matters to me, is because I know whom I have believed. My dear mother-in-law got sick, folks fell, broke her hip, and in less than 2 weeks she was gone. God did not let her lay and suffer. In less than 2 weeks she was gone. And do you know the last thing she did on this earth? Here's the last thing she did, and it'll be the last thing you do, it'll be the last thing I do. Breath went out of her body. It went back to the one who gave it. That's the last thing you'll do. That breath leaves your body. You don't die taking breath in. You die. And as the body without the spirit is dead, that's what happens to you. The spirit leaves the body and goes back to the one that gave it. It's not the fellow carrying the gun here and the black helicopters and all that garbage and an overruling and overbearing government that becomes a tyrannical system. That's not whether you live or die. You live or die according to that one who sits at the right hand of the Father. Almighty God has your soul in His hands. And we do well to trust Him this morning. Amen. We've got a couple of minutes. We've got a couple of ladies here from Missouri. And all I can say is the gluttons for punishment or something. I don't know. That's a long way. Y'all on vacation here? My goodness. Well, God bless you. That's a long way. I appreciate you driving all the way out here. Now, try to get by and shake hands with these ladies this morning. Let them know you appreciate them being here. Amen. Now, folks, How many of you ever heard this? People from Missouri, they're stubborn as a mule. You ever heard of a Missouri mule? How many's ever heard of that? People don't teach people anything anymore, but I grew up. You don't just flim-flam somebody from Missouri. And so these two ladies are here from Missouri. We're glad to have them this morning. Amen.
Yes. Hitler had a badge made for him, and he had the number 555 on it. And I think, personally, that he had the badge 555 because he knew he wasn't going to be the 666.
Yeah.
So the next one's going to have that 666.
Yeah.
I think this is all, they know what's going on.
Oh, absolutely they know, and they're doing it.
And some of the stuff I read this morning, I can't even repeat it in church. What they're doing with these aborted babies, and there are, how am I going to say?
They take a living baby, they cut through its face while it's alive, and they extract its brain. If they'll do that to a little innocent living baby, what do you think they'll do to you?
That's right. Amen.
And that's a fact.
Is that they're shipping some of these almost full-term babies to China.
Well, there's some places over in the Orient they believe by eating the flesh of babies like that, that it does, that it has different benefits to it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we got 70 million we've been chopping up here. 70 million of them been killed now since Roe versus Wade. That's a Holocaust.
They're not putting them, they're not killing them in the womb, they're giving, they're boring them alive.
Yeah, that's partial birth abortion. It's like your president when he was a senator in Illinois. This is a fact, folks. Check me out. That they had an issue. Sometimes they abort a baby and it's not dead. And so they take the little thing out and they lay it down on a table, and here they've got a live baby. Okay, what are you going to do with this live baby? It's not dead. What are you going to do with it? Well, they brought up a bill up there in Illinois to say, well, if the baby comes out and is alive and it's not dead, surely we ought to be able to show enough compassion to try to save it then. I mean, we've tried to kill it, and now let's try to save it. Did you know he voted against that? He voted against it. That gives you the mindset of the man. That shows you what you're dealing with. If they'll do that to an innocent baby, what do you think they'll do to you? Yes, sir.
Remember, Texas Valley Church burned last night?
I didn't know that, brother. When did that happen?
Yesterday afternoon,
it burned
all the way down.
Texas Valley Baptist Church? No, I didn't know that. Well, I hate to hear that. Pardon? Was it? No, I didn't. Well, pray for those people out there. I hate to hear that. That's awful. I didn't know. Well, I hate that. Anybody know anybody that went out there?
I know where it's at.
Oh, I do too. I've been by it many times. I hate to hear that. Pray for those people. Now, folks, the church didn't burn down. The building burned down.
Amen.
That church is still there. They'll build them another building. Yes, sir.
That explosion that went off in China, the Chinese are saying that was a nuke.
Uh-huh.
And there was another one that went off over there in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that was a tactical move.
Mm-hmm. They may be right.
Yeah, I know.
They say that explosion in China was, they started comparing it to Hiroshima.
I was watching the videos and it was a white flash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sign of a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a huge explosion. Yeah. Yeah, there's not enough chaos yet. They want to create more chaos. All right. We got a couple of more minutes. Anybody have a question? I'll be done. All right. We're going to get into their religion next week. What is the religion of the Illuminati?
Donald Trump saying on the TV, on the Bible, he said, this is my book. He didn't say he believed it or whatever, but he said, this is what I love.
Right. Yeah, he says he's Presbyterian. I think he said he's...
There's one thing about the King James Bible. If you look on your King James Bible, look on the back, the cover, it says, Holy Bible.
It does on the front too.
That's the only Bible that's produced in America or anywhere else in the world that says the Holy Bible.
No, it hadn't been for no. There's no copyright on the King
James. The New King James Bible. Yeah. It's not the NIV. It's the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
Holy.
Here's what it means by no copyright, folks. Anybody, any church can take the King James Bible, print all of them you want to. You don't have to pay royalties to anybody. And there's some brethren out there in Oliver Springs been out there printing Bibles for a long time. And Mount Pisgah. And good people out there. No, you want to print the Bible, you can print it. It's King James. You don't have to pay anybody a cent. God sees to it that His Word gets out. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll let you go. God bless you. Father, thank You for the study of Your Word, the time we've had together. Lord, help us now as we prepare for next week. Pray for the service this morning. Pray for the sweet Holy Spirit to be with us. In Thy name we pray. Amen.